Hey, it's Zach here, and super quick before we dive into the show. If you haven't already, I want to make sure that you have subscribed to my free weekly Case of the Mondays newsletter, because it is where I share my best advice, strategies, and mindsets to help you design a creative career that you absolutely love showing up for every Monday morning. When you sign up, I'll even send you a bonus 5-day email course to help you clarify and prioritize the next small steps in your unique path to success. To sign up, just visit optimizeyourself.me/newsletter. All right, on to today's episode. My name is Zach Arnold, and I'm a former Hollywood film and television editor turned career strategist and the creator of Optimize Yourself, where I help artists, creatives, and storytellers just like you design the more balanced, more sustainable, and more fulfilling creative career that you deserve. In a nutshell, I'm Tim Ferriss meets Ted Lasso, minus the mustache, because I am obsessed with both learning everything I can about optimizing human potential while also inspiring you to realize yours. If you are ready to step outside your comfort zone, let's dive right in and unlock the optimized version of you. Hello, and welcome to the Optimize Yourself podcast, where I share honest and candid conversations with best-selling authors, world-class athletes, Hollywood legends, elite experts in a variety of fields, as well as everyday people that are achieving extraordinary things. It means the world to me that with all the podcast choices out there, you have chosen to invest your valuable time, energy, and attention with me. Now, before we get started, don't forget to visit optimizeyourself.me/podcast so you can subscribe, leave a review, and so you can also download your unique customized podcast playlist, where I'm going to send you the 5 best expert interviews from our archives to help you achieve your specific goals. So on that note, without further ado, let's get right to today's guest. Hello, and welcome to Hot Seat Friday, where I give you an inside glimpse into the world of the Optimizer community. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, I host office hours live via Zoom, where I conduct a series of one-on-one coaching sessions and I help a student workshop whatever challenge they're facing next. We cover topics such as networking and outreach, workshopping resumes and websites, preparing for job interviews, designing career paths, and a multitude of challenges beyond just career growth, including time management and productivity, building and optimizing creative workflows, mindset, burnout, and so much more. These bite-sized 25-minute sessions are jam-packed with practical and actionable strategies that you too can use right away to design the more rewarding, the more fulfilling, and the more sustainable creative career that you deserve. If after listening, you're interested in joining the Optimizer community and having the opportunity to sit on the hot seat yourself, and I promise it's not as scary as it sounds, visit optimizeyourself.me/optimizer to learn more. Again, that's optimizeyourself.me/optimizer. So without further ado, we're going to dive right into our first of our two hot seats with Tristan. So Tristan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Good morning to you.
Good morning. So I don't know if you heard, but even when you don't show up to office hours, you're a topic of conversation now.
Yeah, I checked my email and I was like, why is my name a hot topic for the
honor? You're like, wait a second. The one time I didn't show up in the entire last semester and people are talking about me. What is this BS?
I don't know. What's going on?
Yes. Well, clearly you're making an impression because I had a brief conversation with Brett and he was asking about, you know, how you have kept showing up, and he wanted to know, is it okay for him to add thoughts or if he wants to give feedback, and had a nice conversation about how we can collaborate as a team rather than, just having everybody listening to these one-on-one conversations. So, Yes, you were the guinea pig in that hot seat. Unbeknownst to me, he just brought it up, but yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm always open for feedback and everything. So if anyone wants to reach out, feel free.
Bring it on. Yes. And I too am always open for feedback. So I want to spend as much time actually going into mock interview mode as possible. But for those that weren't here for the previous session or previous sessions, give us a good 60 to 90 minute summary. Give us the previously on Tristan's hot seats.
Yes, previously on Tristan's hot seat. Essentially, I applied for the ACE internship, and now it's kind of like the waiting period before you hear back to see if you're going to be, selected for the interview process. So I'm trying to get ahead of the game and prepare for a potential interview. And so last hot seat, I did a mock interview with Zach, essentially talking about the first question that you're most likely to be asked in an interview, which is the tell me about yourself question. And a little bit of a bumpy ride, figured out some things and kind of stumbled on my words, but hoping to have a better run at it today after the notes from last time.
Great. So would you rather stumble all over your words during one of our hot seats or in the actual interview?
Obviously here. Yeah.
Okay, good. So that's why I'm as hard on you as humanly possible, is I'd rather you get all the mistakes out of your system now. And then when you actually walk into the room, you feel confident that you can lead the conversation. You can walk in, make a great impression, and you can also leave them with a great impression.
Yeah, exactly.
So one question that I have for you very, very quickly. Didn't ask this last time, but I want to point out the elephant in the room about this specific hot seat, which is, are we wasting our time if you don't end up getting this ACE internship interview? Is this just a waste of time right now?
No, I don't think so. I think just for me in general, obviously, since I'm just starting in the industry, I'm hoping to have some more interviews in the future. So I think, really nailing down the interview process, being able to tell my story, figure out, how to create that hook and kind of going through that process is going to be super useful for me. Even if I don't have this, interview, maybe if I have another one, I can apply the same principles to that. So
excellent. So I'm glad that you see it that way, because I think a lot of people might be thinking, well, I really want to get ready for this interview, but am I wasting my time? Why am I doing all this if I don't actually get it? This really has nothing to do with your ACE internship interview. Obviously, that's the reason that's kind of giving us the urgency, but it's largely irrelevant to the way that I'm approaching this. I wouldn't care what you were interviewing for. We'd be talking about the same things. The story might be different. The hook might be different, but the way we structure it and the way we approach it, the psychology is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Tristan, tell me about yourself.
Yes, I would love to. First off, I just want to say thank you for having me here, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. And second of all, you actually might be wondering, why am I in the room talking with you today? If you saw my letter of intent or my resume, you may have noticed that I do not, in fact, have any experience yet in the film and television industry and post-production. My background instead is heavily in athletics and actually being a Division I water polo goalie. I believe the many hours I invested into becoming a successful Division I athlete, really trained me to be ready for the long hours and sacrifice that goes into, the team collaboration for post-production, and hopefully to be a part of those, incredible films that I want to be a part of one day. And it also taught me that, I have a real passion for being on both sides of mentorship, whether that's growing and learning from my coaches and my teammates, or, that's helping out the younger guys on our team and being an example to them. I found that athletics taught me that I'm really into that. I know ACE, it's a big thing for you guys as well. You might be wondering, Tristan, that is fantastic. But I haven't heard a thing about editing, and this is the ACE internship. and that's a fair point. So, my path to get into this room today might not be the same, maybe as some other applicants, but, my love and my passion for editing and filmmaking start probably around the same age, but with Nerf guns. So essentially, when I was young, my neighbor Tyler, he showed me a clip that he had edited of me, running around with my Nerf gun, trying to take out the bad guys. And he had layered some Tommy gun sound effects onto it. And, all of a sudden this Nerf gun is invoking a whole new set of emotions for me. This little toy just turned into, a blaster rifle. And I felt like I was the bounty hunter in the new Star Wars episode. And that changed everything for me. And I figured out, with my experience in editing, it's the way I can connect emotionally, with other people. And, really tell the stories that I'm passionate about telling. That is why I'm super excited for this opportunity to start my career in post-production. And hopefully, I'm ready to make the most out of the opportunity. And hopefully ACE can make that happen.
So how do you feel about that versus your first draft?
A lot better. still kind of, working it out, but I at least felt better about, the structure of it. I'm not sure. A couple of things, like I'm not sure if it's too long. I'm not sure if it sounded memorized. And I also don't really have like a single line. Like, I know you talked to like the Karate Kids, my Star Wars. Like, I didn't feel like I had like a, that one line that really, you know, draws you in there. But I felt like overall it was definitely better.
All right, good. Well, I agree with you that the feel of it is that you came across being much more confident, much more friendly, and also much more clear about why you were actually in the room. So it's very clear to me that you spent some time preparing between our previous session and this one. So one of the things that you had mentioned was, I'm not sure if it feels too long. I'm not sure if it feels too rehearsed. How much of that is rehearsed and or memorized?
The whole thing. I mean, not
so
like
the whole thing is rehearsed and memorized, like you've written it down and it's word for word.
It wasn't word for word. I wrote down pretty much that chunk, and I don't know. I mean, I have pretty good short term memory, so I can just kind of skim it a little bit beforehand and then just not say the exact thing, but kind of remember what the sentences were. So that's kind of how I do it. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but hopefully in the actual interview, I want to just forget it and be lost.
But. Yeah. So, and then that's one of the reasons that I'm asking. So what you're, you saying, well, I don't know if it's good or it's bad. There is no good or bad in the process about, does it get the outcome that you want? So if my process is that I don't memorize and yours is that you memorize word for word and we get the same result and everybody loves me and hires me and everybody loves you and hires you, well, then who cares what the process was, right? I have a big issue with people questioning other people's processes. Oh, that's how you organize your dailies, or those are the colored markers you use? Like, who gives a shit? Nobody's going to watch your finished edit on television or on the big screen and say, you used yellow markers for ADR, not red, didn't you? Like, who cares, right? As long as the work gets done and you get to the result, I really don't care what the process is. However, here's my concern. And I don't have, it's not a major concern, but right now you're in a situation where the adrenaline is a little bit up, but this, because you've been coming to these sessions enough, I can tell you're starting to feel more comfortable with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the adrenaline goes way up, all of a sudden what happens is the switch in your brain that actually thinks goes click and it doesn't work anymore. And I know I've experienced this multiple times. And I'm sure in the world of sports, you've experienced this on your journey as well. But having not really spent a lot of time as an athlete in performance mode when I was younger, all of it was just practice. I did martial arts for years, but I never actually did tournaments and I was never in front of a crowd. There's never any stakes. It was just the learning process. So Ninja Warrior is really the first time that I experienced, all right, this is my shot. I've got a bunch of people watching me. And I learned firsthand how that adrenaline switch works. And you just become a bumbling idiot and you don't remember anything. And as you know, as a Division I athlete, it's all about repetition and it's all about instinct. So you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
So that's why one of my concerns, and again, I'm not going to question your process versus mine, but I find that for me, and I've also found for others in general, the closer you get to memorizing, the more room for error there is, because if you get nervous, all of a sudden you're searching for something and in your mind, there's a picture of this is the right version and now I'm screwing it up.
Right.
Versus I'm just going to come in there and I'm going to be natural. And as we talked about previously, I have a very clear theme. I have a structure to my opening hook. But I'm not thinking, oh, crap, I just started the third bullet point, but I haven't talked about the second bullet point. And what about this line that I wrote? It's so good. They're going to start to feel that. And I felt it just a little bit.
Yeah.
In general, you felt very natural. And that's why it wasn't a matter of like, I can tell you're reading off an index card. You didn't come off that way at all. But okay. I was trying to ascertain how much of this was memorized. And I got a sense that a good portion of this was written word for word and memorized.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Just for right now, at least, I'm trying to get like that structure down. And like you said, obviously this is not the interview, but I mean, it's not like the most easy thing, speaking in front of everyone and doing like this when I'm still learning it, obviously.
Yeah. This is why I like to do it with a group here. Cause it amps up the adrenaline just enough that it's really uncomfortable.
That's right. 8 a.m. on a Thursday, getting after it. But yeah, it was more just like the transitions that I think I was having trouble with last time. Cause I don't really want to go out there. Like I don't know if it's worse to have it memorized or worse to just be like, well, you know, I play water polo and I did this, this and that. Ooh, actually, and Nerf guns, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'd rather have it sound memorized than just like scattered.
Yes. So if we're going to look at your process and where you are now, I think that what you did worked. So if it were a matter of that were your actual interview, I think you started very well.
Okay.
The reason that we're here is so we can constantly improve it.
Yes.
But the first version where we kind of did it on the fly in our previous session, that was really bumpy. This one felt really good.
Okay.
But cool. If we want to improve it even further, kind of the two broad stroke notes that I would have, and we can get into a little bit more of the nuances of the transitions or the details. But the two broad stroke notes that I have are, number one, it felt a tiny bit too much rehearsed. And number two, it was too long.
Yeah, too long.
So we definitely want to tighten it a little bit. But I was going through kind of checking off the boxes of the outline that we created. So for anybody that wasn't here for the previous session, how did we structure in the simplest, shortest amount of words possible? How did we structure the opening? What's the intent of the opening and the answer to this first question?
Yeah. So three bullet points: address the elephant in the room, frame how my past experience makes me valuable, and then why did I choose the path of working in post-production?
Great. All right. So now we're going to go ahead and we're going to try this again. So Tristan, really good to have you here today. Tell me why you chose to apply for the ACE internship. See what I did there?
Yeah, you changed the question and now I'm thinking.
So does that mean you're screwed and you can't use everything that you just figured out?
No, I just was not expecting that. So
now do you see why you can't memorize it?
Yes. Okay.
Because all of the details that you shared, they're all still relevant. You can use all of the pieces. But now all of a sudden, because it's memorized, you're thinking, crap, my first two sentences don't work anymore and they don't make any sense. I don't know what their first question is going to be. It probably is going to be, tell me about yourself, but I don't know that.
Okay.
So your story is going to be the same. You're still going to want to address the elephant in the room. Why the hell is this Division I athlete that was a goalie here for the ACE internship? So let me share some of the character traits and the qualities that I think make me a good fit for this. Now let's talk about what inspired me to be an editor and the impact I want to create doing this work, right? You can do all of those things, but you're going to need a little bit of leeway to improv.
Okay.
Because I don't know what the first question is going to be.
Yeah.
So if you look at the two, they're very, very similar and you have the answer to why you want to be an ACE intern. But now all of a sudden your brain, you're thinking, wait a second, I have to restructure this.
Yeah.
Okay. So does that make a pretty good case for why you can't memorize this word for word?
Yeah. I was about to just start reading the first line. And then I was like, that doesn't even make sense to what the question you just asked.
Yep.
So I rethink the question. And then by the time I rethought the question, I was screwed. So yeah,
exactly. So I caught you in a deer in headlights look there right at the beginning of the interview. So that's my argument for why I wouldn't spend too much time with rote memorization, because it's one of my favorite quotes is Mike Tyson's quote. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. All right. You had a plan. How I can only presume you spent probably way more time than you needed to between our last hot seat and this one, getting ready for me to ask you, tell me about yourself. And you did a really good job with it. And I just negated all of the preparation you did by slightly rearranging the way that I asked my first question. So you ready to dive in and do this again?
Yeah.
Great.
Sorry, my internet said it was unstable or something. I didn't catch that last bit that you said, but.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So I was just saying that if you're ready to dive in again, we can dive in again.
Okay. Let's try it again.
Cool. All right. So really great to have you here. We're excited to chat and learn a little bit more about you. So tell us about yourself.
Awesome. Yeah, I would love to. First of all, I just want to really thank you guys for having me here. It's an honor and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. Second of all, you might be wondering, why is this guy here?
hold on a second. I've got a director. He wants to send me a. Sorry, what were you saying? Go ahead, sir. I missed the first part. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. I was just addressing that you might be wondering why I'm here.
Damn it! Hold on a second. I don't think the director got these notes that I was sending him. Oh, these directors, they drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry. Good to have you here. Tristan. Tristan. Yeah. So, go ahead. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah, no worries. Just explaining that if you looked at my letter of intent, you might not be wondering why I'm here. The reason I'm here is because, I feel like my background as a Division I athlete could be, useful to the ACE internship. You know, I learned how to, you know, be a part of a team, to sacrifice and to work long hours. And really just want to bring that skill set to the world of post-production. You know, I learned a lot about mentorship as well, learning from coaches and helping out the younger guys in our team, and really looking forward to, you know, hopefully doing that, and, you know, in the editing space. And you might be wondering,
Wait, hold on a second. You said you were a goalie?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Awesome. Yeah. So I was a Division I water polo goalie. So essentially kind of the leader on the team, you know, protecting the cage and leading the defense, being able to, you know,
communicate. Oh my God. Serious. I'm so sorry. Just the work just, it never stops. It's just, you sure you want the ace internship?
Yes, sir.
This right here, this is just a microcosm. Okay. All right. Sorry. Goalies. Yes. Goalies. Tell me about being a goalie.
Yeah. Being a goalie. So like I was mentioning before, you know, being a leader, of the team, you know, the captain on my water polo team, I feel like, you know, being a goalie is a great position that you're kind of on an island. Essentially, like you're the goalie of the, in the water polo room. Oh man, you're the goalie in water polo, and you're also the goalie of the edit bay. You know, if you're an editor, you know, protecting the best version of the story from, you know, people that are trying to give you different things about it. And just leading the team with communication, being able to talk to the different, you know, groups in there to get the, you know, the story and the project done on time. I feel like that would be something that I would excel in.
Wait, so you were the editor for your water polo team and the goalie? I'm sorry. I guess I'm not following.
Yeah, sorry. I misspoke there. I was the goalie of my water polo team and would like to be the goalie of the edit bay. Which to me would be, you know, the editor, who essentially is, you know, protecting that best version of the story. Just like in Waterfall, I was protecting the cage, leading the team. So I feel like there's a strong correlation in the skills and the character traits that I bring from that really apply to that. So I'm hoping that, you know, with the opportunity that the ACE internship, you know, provides, I can learn from those experts and eventually be successful being, you know, an editor instead of a goalie this time.
Did I make another good case for why you probably shouldn't memorize?
Yeah, more of a...
I would venture to guess that almost everybody has had an interview experience like that before.
Yeah.
I was intentionally being an ass.
Right.
I've been in more than one interviewer like that, where literally it's like they've got the piece of paper and it's the resume. And it's just like, yeah, so tell me about this show. Uh-huh. Yeah, I love that scene too. That was great. Yeah, no. So this other show, when did you work on that? Yeah, it's I mean, it's maddening. It's infuriating.
Yeah, right.
But I want to give you a sense of why it's really good to have the intent and the theme, but not worry about the bullet points have to be in this order, because there's going to be constant curveballs that are going to be thrown at you.
Right.
So you'll notice that what I did, and maybe I had a little bit too much fun with this, but what I did intentionally was, in your opening, you missed what I think is the most important bullet point because I threw you off. In all of that, I still haven't heard anything about what inspired you to want to be an editor and why you want to edit and be a part of this craft. So that got lost in all the details.
Right. Yeah, because I was like towards the end of my, you know, memorized version. So I didn't
exactly
quite get there.
So that's again why I want you to think to yourself that there is no right or wrong answer. There's no right or wrong structure or order, but you're just thinking in your mind, not even by the end of the first question. Just think, if things are going to go completely haywire at the very beginning of the interview, which they might, or you might go in there and they might say, tell me about yourself, and they stay quiet and they're completely and totally focused on you, and you get through word for word. I have no idea what's going to happen. But yeah. I don't want you to think to yourself, oh, it's the end of the first question and I didn't share what inspires me to be an editor. Just think to yourself, that's part of my story that has to be clear by the end of the interview.
Okay. So how would I guess, navigate that? Because obviously, I mean, the questions you're asking were pretty direct. Like, so tell me about being a goalie. And I was obviously trying to kind of stumbled there, but was trying to bring that like to the goalie of the edit bay situation there. how would I guess, transition that into the inspiration and impact thing? Talk about, I want to be the goalie, the edit bay. And oh, by the way, like the reason I'm interested in editing is because of this. Is that, is it as simple as that, or what do you think?
It can be, yes. I mean, again, there's no right or wrong answer because this is very much improv. I'm not sure what order it's all going to go in. But let me step backwards from here's the sentence or the words that you can use to transition this. I'm going to go to a much more fundamental rule that I have about interviews, which is, as we've talked about before, the mindset isn't that it's about me, that it's about them, right? It's about me understanding their story and what they're looking for and me wanting to solve their problems. But because this is a little bit unique situation and that it's both of your stories, because an internship really is about both parties. If they were hiring you as a post PA or an assistant editor, this is totally about them. They've got problems, they need solutions and somebody that can deliver them results. But yeah, it's kind of 50-50 because this really is about you too, and they want to see you succeed. And that's the whole point of this, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at it as this is all about them, I want to make sure that in the interview, they talk more than I do. In this one, I want to make sure that give or take, maybe it's 50-50 or they talk slightly more than I do. But if you feel that this is something that is necessary to bring up and whatever the question might be, if you're thinking, I've got this checkbox in my head, I have to make sure I mention that I'm the goalie of the Edipe. I have to make sure that I mention the Nerf guns. I have to make sure that I mention these are my favorite movies and this is what I would want to edit someday, right? Mm-hmm. Don't think to yourself that I have to do it in this moment. Let the conversation just kind of go logically to where it's going to go next, knowing that ultimately you still want them to talk a little bit more about them, the purpose of the ACE internship, the reasons that they're looking for candidates like you. And if at the end of it, you're like, oh my God, I never talked about my Nerf gun story. If you got them to talk more about themselves and ACE and why are they excited to have an intern and why they're excited to have you, they don't know that you forgot your Nerf gun story. Right. There's anytime that I do a podcast interview, there are at least 10 things when I'm finished. I'm like, oh my God, I totally wanted to talk about this and I didn't bring this up. Or I should have brought up this story. Or, oh, I really wanted to ask this question and I didn't get to it.
Mm.
But I've never, maybe almost never, I've almost never had somebody reach out and say, but why didn't you ask this one question? Or why didn't you bring up this story? They don't know what my intention was in my head.
Yeah, it's all mental.
So what I don't want you thinking if things start to go astray is, crap, how do I bring it back to I have to tell my Nerf gun story, right? That's part of my origin story. If it's relevant and you're thinking, all right, I've got the Nerf gun story in the back of my head, and let's say that one of your questions is, you know, what was your inspiration for wanting to be an editor, right? I really admire your work. Like, oh yeah, when I was, you know, little, I remember making movies running around with Nintendo guns. Oh my God, yes, me too. Let me tell you my Nerf gun story, right? Yeah. That's organic and that flows. But what I don't want you thinking is that I failed if I haven't told my Nerf gun story. Zach said that's one of my three checkboxes in the very first question. And if I don't tell that, then I failed.
Right.
Ultimately, okay, it's about conducting an organic conversation and making sure that their questions about you are answered. And you're making sure that you're not making it all about you, and you're also making it about them and their goals. So that's, again, why I want to make sure you're not coming in there having rote memorization, having saying, here's the first paragraph, here's the first two paragraphs. If they ask this, here's my response, because they're going to feel that. They're not going to consciously feel it, but it's what it will do is it will convey a lack of confidence.
Okay. How would I make it, I guess, more about them? Like, I know at the end, like, usually give you time to like ask questions, and definitely, like, the next thing I wanted to do here was, you know, like, come up with some questions and ask you and see if those are really good after we get this down. But how would you go? Do you like just kind of spin your answers to like turn it back on them or something? I mean, I'm not sure how you would really do that.
Yes. So I'm glad that you brought this up, because as we've talked about in the previous hot seat, have we done one or two hot seats on the mock interviews? I can't remember.
Just one for this. Yeah.
Just the one. So as I talked about in our previous hot seat, as well as I went into extensively in the 3-hour case study mock interview that I did with Chris Kavanaugh, I don't know what the questions are going to be in a job interview. Nobody really does. But you can almost always count on some variation of tell me about yourself in the beginning. Not always, but sometimes. And you can almost always count on the end of the interview being, do you have any questions for us? Mm-hmm. So the do you have any questions for us is your safety net. And that's okay. The safety net is there are these key points that were really important that I didn't bring up. This is my chance to bring them up. Right. What you wouldn't want to do is if they said, tell me about your, or if they said, do you have any more questions? Well, actually, I don't have any more questions, but let me tell you how Nerf guns inspired me to be an editor. They're like, wait, what? Right. So that's not what I want you to do. Yeah. But I want you to number one, I want you to have a series of questions ready that you want to know about the ACE internship.
Right.
Right. So if we were to, before we actually worry about answering this question and being prepared for it, what are the questions that you have going into this interview? What are the questions you have about the ACE internship, what the job might look like, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I would obviously be interested to know what more of a day-to-day look like, just because I've never been like in an edit bay or any of that stuff. So I'll just be curious if I'm just kind of like hanging back out, like behind people, just shadowing and learning that way, or if you're able to like ask questions. You know, what's expected of me as an intern, like in terms of, I know they have like a daily, journaling process. So I'm curious, what that would look like. And honestly, be kind of curious what movies and TV shows I'd be, shadowing, but that's probably not a question they can answer. I'm trying to think of what else.
All right. So let's use this as a starting point. So if the question you want to ask is, tell me what a day-to-day would look like if I get to be the ACE intern. What does the process look like? What are the projects I'd be working on? Would I be at post studios? Would I be on TV shows? Would I be on movies? What does it look like, right? So I don't think that's a bad question. I think that that's a solid question for you to ask to kind of get more data. But I think there's a better way to ask a similar question.
Okay.
Right? So if you were to ask that question, what would my day-to-day look like? Who's that question about?
Me, and so I just want to know what I would be doing, right?
Right. So if I get the job, if I'm chosen to be the best one, what do I get to do?
Yeah.
What if instead we got a similar answer with a different question from the perspective we want it to be more about them? How could we change the question?
Well, maybe saying like, in the past, like, what have you seen other ACE interns do on a day-to-day basis that like give you the best results or got the most out of the program, that sort of thing. So you can kind of get what they want, but you're asking them, you know, what would be useful to them, not like, how do I be the best intern, but what have you seen in the past that's best for you? And then try to emulate that.
Good. You're getting much, much closer. So I think that if it were some variation of, I've got maybe a question or two. I really want to better understand like what makes a really great ACE intern. Like, how would you define that this program was successful and you hired the right person? And then I just kind of secondary to that, like, what does their day to day look like? What kind of stuff are they working on? But really, ultimately, like, what makes this a great experience and the right candidate for you?
Right.
Right. So you're probably going to get a lot of the same information as far as, they usually work on TV shows or movies and one of our former interns worked on this show, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact that you're asking about what makes this great for you, coming from that perspective, that just it feels different. And most likely I would guess that maybe not everybody, but a lot of people that would be in an interview for this probably ask, what does the job look like? What would I be working on? So they're probably going to be answering some variation of the same answer that they've given multiple times. But right. If you ask it from this perspective, I think there's a high likelihood their response would be, oh, nobody's ever asked it that way before. That's a really good question. Anytime you get somebody to pause for a second, when I've learned this from years and years and years of podcast interviews, both as the interviewer, but also as the interviewee. When people say, wow, that's a really good question, what they really mean is, wow, I'm not prepared to answer this yet. Because nobody ever asks this.
Yeah. Like
so that's always my goal with whenever I'm talking to somebody that's an A-lister that's done lots of interviews, my ultimate goal is I want them to pause and say, wow, that's a good question. Because it means somebody hasn't asked it and they're not prepared to answer it.
Okay.
And I know because it's happened to me too. It's subconscious. Somebody will ask me a really good question, whether it's about my story or about the editing process, whatever it might be. And I'm like, that's a good question. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm doing it myself. It's because I don't know how to answer this. So it gives us a few seconds to kind of get ahead of ourselves and find the answer. So right. if it's tell me what the job is, would it be full-time? Would it be part-time? What do I get paid? What shows do I work on? They probably had that conversation a lot, but I doubt a lot of people ask them, you know, what does a great ACE intern look like? Right. What really makes this successful for you? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, just what does their day-to-day look like? I think that would be a better way to frame it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Cause I have like some of the information, like, on the website, just like general overview of like, oh, you're going to do this thing. You're going to go to this event and you're going to do that sort of thing. So I kind of know what it is. I just want to know what, like, those people that have like success stories on there of like the people that went to work on all these movies, like what did they do differently during the interview process, or not the interview process, the internship process, to, you know, really make the most out of it. And I also want to know, like, what's the best way to, I'm trying to think of the best way to like leverage this to like hopefully get something afterwards. That's like not how I would say it, but I don't know, essentially, like, who should you be talking to that would, you know, be the best people to connect with, that sort of thing.
All right. So there's actually two separate questions in there.
Okay.
One of which is, how does me becoming an ACE intern make my career better, right? Well, how can I leverage this in the future, right? Is this ACE internship going to make my entire career for me? Obvious question, but who is that about?
Yeah, that's me.
All right, so that's about you. So I don't think that's a great question, but there's a better way to ask it and get a similar answer. But the other one, which I think is mostly separate from that, which is, who are some past ACE interns that were successful that I could talk to learn more about how they were able to leverage the ACE internship to get where they are now.
Right. Yeah. I think that would be a better question to ask. Yeah. Just thinking out loud, it's easier to obviously think from your own perspective and from there. So you got to switch it around.
What other questions do you have? Don't worry about writing them or framing them or anything else. Just off the top of your head, what are the actual questions you have about this opportunity?
Yeah, those are like the main two. I'm really just curious, like, what goes on at these like awards events, to be honest. I've never been to one of these awards events, so I'll be curious. And I think that's a great question, but just from my own curiosity, it's like, what's the expectation for you guys for like working at these events and attending these events? Obviously, you want to be the best representation of ACE possible. What does that look like for you guys? Maybe something like that.
All right. So once again, let's go back to the beginning. Let's use this and workshop it, right? The question is, what's it like at ACE Awards events? So let's just use the Eddies, for example. That would be the biggest one, right? So the question could be, what's it like at the ACE Eddies? And if I'm an intern, what do I have to do? Or like, how do things work? So again, who's that question about?
Me.
It's about you. And also, let's say they gave you a really good answer to that question and you were really, really good showing up as a representative, as an ACE intern at the Eddies. Do you think that's their primary objective of this program?
No.
Yeah. My guess is this is something that they're not terribly concerned about. And I could be wrong. I'm not a member of the ACE internship committee. But my guess is it's not top of mind when they're meeting their candidates. Is this person going to be a really good representative of our organization at the next Eddies? I don't think that they're worried about that.
Okay.
So we want to make sure your questions are relevant either to them, or if it's relevant to you, it makes you a better candidate for them.
Okay. What do you think they might be concerned about? I mean, just from like,
well, what's the elephant in the room? I know what they're going to be concerned about because we've already talked about it. What's the elephant?
That I haven't worked in film and television yet. So they might be concerned that even if I got the opportunity, I wouldn't be successful, perhaps, just because I might be slightly more behind than some other people that already have a little bit of experience.
Mm-hmm. So this is another talking point that I want to make sure comes out in the interview. It's not something that needs to come out in the first question, but you've raised a couple of red flags. One of which is, you said, I don't have any experience in the industry, but you also said, I've never been in an edit bay before.
Right.
So if those are true, that's fine. My guess is that when it comes to, I don't have any experience, my guess is that means I don't have any professional experience where I was paid. But how much actual experience do you have with the editing craft?
Yeah, I mean, I did like some live broadcast stuff. And then I did like a little bit of stuff for like social media. And I've done like a video here and there, like editing. And obviously I've done like some online courses, but that's why I don't know if I should like specify. I don't have any experience in film and television. Cause it's not like I've never edited before and I'm just randomly deciding to like do this. Like I obviously had a passion for it. Like I did stuff in high school, college, and I've done some smaller stuff, just not on the scale that they might be looking for.
All right. So all of that is very different from, I have no experience in the industry and I've never been in an edit bay before.
Yeah.
So if I'm interviewing you, I'm thinking, this is going to move way too fast for you. Like if we need to explain, here's how to open Avid Media Composer, here's how to make a bin. Yeah, like if we need to teach you the basics of endpoint, outpoint, segment overwrite, like there's no room for that. This is going to be fast moving.
Yeah.
But my impression is, yeah, exactly. So that's a key point that must be clarified in the interview.
Okay.
Right. So when you say, I don't have any experience, I don't want you to go into, I've done all of these things, but I think what you can do is clarify it a little bit more specifically. I don't have any professional experience yet in film and TV, but I have a multitude of experience in other areas. So I understand the basics. I understand kind of the basic workflow. I've taken a lot of online courses. All that demonstrates that you have the character and you have a base level of knowledge.
Okay.
Because my assumption is, and by the way, the reason I'm bringing this up is I think this is one of the questions that you need to ask if you haven't gotten to it in the interview.
Right.
You need to know what's the base level of knowledge to qualify somebody to be ready for this internship. I don't know the answer to this. My assumption is that they're going to hit the ground running. And when it comes to core basic concepts, they're going to assume that you have those.
Right.
But I don't know that for certain.
Right. Which I feel like I do. But it's hard to explain that to someone that obviously they've been working in the industry forever and that's probably all they know. They might not agree with me that like taking online courses and doing live broadcasts and doing some social media and some other like side videos for like friends and family. I don't know if they'll agree or disagree.
And I don't know either because I don't know who's going to interview you. But yeah. I think that this is a really key question and conversation to have.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity to use one of the buzzwords, one of the trends that we talked about on Tuesday, which is being authentic, right? Yes. So if one of the topics of conversation, and ideally I would want this question to come up before the, do you have any questions for us? Because this is a key part of this conversation. For you need to genuinely understand, do I have the base level of qualifications? Mm-hmm. And if they say you need A, B, C, D, and E, and you only have A and B so far, you should say that. And I'm going to tell you why in a second, because most people will think, well, wait a second. If they have A through E as qualifications and I have A and B, I can't tell them that I don't know C, D, and E because they won't hire me.
Right.
There's two ways to look at this. One of which is if C, D, and E can be filled really, really quickly on the job and you know just enough to not get fired in the first week or two, don't feel like you have to know everything. Like nobody's perfectly qualified for any job. There's always going to be learning on the job, but there's also a base level of qualification. If you don't know these things in the first week, you're going to get eaten alive, right?
Right.
So if they say you need A, B, C, D, and E, you can say, oh, I'm really glad you said that. I actually have A and B. I feel really good about those. C, I'm kind of sort of working on that, but there's definitely some knowledge gaps. And I'm really excited about learning D and E, but I really don't know anything about those yet. Do you think that that disqualifies me? Because even if it does, I want to learn all those things so the next time I'm better prepared.
Okay.
Right. That's something that people really admire that, again, speaks to your character and also speaks to how much character and experience and a skill you have from being a Division I athlete is that you're willing to dig in and you're willing to learn and learn quickly and ask questions.
Yeah. And that's my mentality, essentially. What I'm trying to tell them, like, I feel like I'm prepared enough, like you said, to like not fail. But I also, like you said, realize that there might be some spots where they're looking for something and I don't have it. And I'll definitely be honest with them and say, here's where I am. I'm looking forward to the opportunity if I think I wouldn't completely fail. If not, then I would love to hear your feedback and move on and do the best I can I mean, that's all I can really do. So,
yeah, exactly. So, I know that one of our very first conversations, you were very concerned and you even apologized for the fact that I'm almost 24 and I haven't figured out my life yet. Everybody that's on this call feels the same way, myself included. So I don't want you to have to feel like you have to have it all figured out. But when you come into the room, I want to demonstrate more character and not worry about the experience so much. Because the likelihood of you getting this the first time, given you have no experience, I would say that it's a long shot.
Right.
But if you're playing the long game, I want you to think to yourself, if I knock this interview out of the park and I don't get it, I've done everything I can. And I've also set myself up for next year. So if we go back to this idea of if the storyline is, I don't really have any editing experience and I've never been in an edit bay, it's going to veer very quickly to, it was really nice meeting you today. We wish you the best of luck. Because they're thinking, this, we just can't make this work.
Yeah, right? I agree with that.
Ideally, I think the best outcome of this conversation, short of getting the actual internship, I think the best version of this interview is, oh my God, we loved him. He's not really quite qualified yet. He's a little green, and I don't know if we could get him in this year, but we definitely need to keep him on our short list, because if he really applies himself for a year, he's going to be our number one candidate in a year. That's the impression that I want you to make. That to me is a win that you can largely control, even if you don't have the experience. I want them to think he was awesome, totally too green, does not fit in yet. He would not be able to hit the ground running, but in a year or two, that's our next intern. Okay. That's the way that I want you to go into this.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I definitely see it from that perspective now. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just kind of being honest with where I am, but I realize now without context, people could definitely take that the wrong way and think, oh, this guy is off the streets and I don't even know why he's here. They might really be wondering why I'm there. So,
exactly. So rather than coming at it from, let me tell you about me and my story and all the things that I know, again, it's more about, here's, I want to learn more about what you're looking for in an intern. And let me tell you all the experience that I do have so I can see if I'm the right fit for you. As I always talk about with branding and the interview process, it's not, oh my God, this is perfect for me. It's, oh my God, I'm perfect for you. And you might find in this interview, I'm not ready for this yet. But if you can authentically share that and you can say, okay, so I've just learned in this interview that I have to have three years minimum experience professionally on Avid Media Composer. I am not there yet. Let's just be perfectly honest. I am not ready for this internship. But as long as I'm here, tell me everything that I need to learn. What are the best resources? So that when I come in with 3 years and 1 day of experience on Avid Media Composer, I'm a shoo-in for this. And that's going to speak a lot to your character.
Oh, yeah.
So if it makes you feel any better, and I don't know if I've shared this before, I was turned down for ACE, my first interview. But the impression that I found out about afterwards, because I was told this firsthand, is they said, we absolutely loved you. You just didn't have quite enough experience and you were really young. I came in there thinking that I think I had 2 years, maybe 3 years. Let's see. So I probably had 2 seasons of Burn Notice under my belt. That's it. I had 1 TV credit and I had cut 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. And I went in there thinking I'm ready for ACE.
Yeah.
But ultimately they're like, I think I had meeting the base level of qualifications. There's a certain number of credits you need as an editor to be in the editor. The ACE program is an editor. And I think I had like just barely meeting that base level of qualifications where they say, if you don't have this number of credits, don't bother applying. I was like 1 credit over it. But I reached out to somebody that I knew afterwards because I was really upset. Like, this was my life's work. I think I was like 32 at the time, but I was just so in my head that like, this was the thing that I was working towards my whole life. Yeah. And they're like, don't worry about it. They loved you. You just need to apply in a year or two when you have a little bit more experience. And I learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
Because I really thought I totally blew it. Oh my God, I put all this work in. This is so important to me. Now I can't do this. They're like, are you kidding? No, they loved you. You need another year or two. So I learned a lot from getting that feedback.
Okay. Yeah. I would definitely, like you said, probably feel the same way. But yeah, getting that feedback and hearing their perspective would definitely be cool. If that situation were to happen, did you ever go back and apply again? Or did you?
To ACE?
I guess you were applying to be a member, right?
No, I was applying to be a member. This wasn't for the internship. I didn't know about the internship. I would have gone after the internship with everything I had if I knew it existed. I didn't know it existed.
Yeah. Okay, I was Okay.
But yeah. No, this was to be a full-on ACE member.
Right. Now you're in it. So.
But I took their advice and I applied again. And I think it was either the year after or 2 years after, and I got in.
Awesome. Yeah.
Because I had more experience and I had more credits.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. That's not just like, see you later. It's like, all right, we like you, but you know, just play the long game. So it's good.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let all that simmer, let it marinate. And if you want to come back for round three, you're more than welcome to.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I appreciate this hot seat is super helpful. And looking forward to the next one.
You bet. Thank you so much for investing both your time and energy listening to today's show. If you were inspired by this conversation, don't forget to subscribe in your podcast app of choice, and most importantly, leave a review, because that helps move the show to the top of iTunes and get our message out there to those who need it the most. Simply visit optimizeyourself.me/subscribe to never miss another episode. Lastly, stay safe, healthy, sane, and most importantly, be well.